AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. AgriTalk is brought to you by Simplot Grower Solutions. We're in your fields and by your side. Learn more at SimplotGrowerSolutions.com.
Well, at some points, words like corrective pullback and healthy market action sort of lose their ability to console pretty much everything lower except the hogs today. We'll be sure to cover the markets, but perhaps Bubba and I can also find something else to talk about. Live from the apex of Hump Day via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, it's Todd Bubba Horowitz for the full hour. I'm handsome guest host Davis Michelson filling in for Chip. Thanks for joining us this afternoon. You are tuned to AgriTalk. Yeah, like I said earlier, markets, I mean, pretty much just say lower for all of them, and you'll get the basic picture. There was some spread action going on that I might pick Bubba's brain over just a little bit and see what he makes of it. But there are a lot of different things that I want to talk to Todd Bubba Horowitz about. And if you've ever tuned in for a Bubba show, you know the deal. Let's just open the chute and let him run. But I do want to talk about currencies. I want to talk about some stuff with the dollar in particular. And then some of these, I mean, we're talking about taxing the wealthy to pay for social programs. I know he's listening in right now. I don't want to make his head explode right now, but we got to get into some of that. And, you know, at some point, maybe I feel like I've just sort of become cynical in some of this stuff, especially on the policy side as it relates to the economy. And I don't know if Bubba's the right guy to ask or not. Am I too cynical? But we're certainly going to get him to weigh in. We'll start with the markets here. Todd, why don't we bring him on in, Joe? Bubba, are you there? Do you read me?
What's up? I'm here, baby.
Outstanding.
I got a mouthful.
Okay. It's great to hear from you. Let's cover some of the news. We'll get the closes in, and you can tell me what I've got wrong in my news copy, and set us all straight. All right, you ready?
I'm ready. I'm always ready, brother. Let's go.
Well, wheat futures were lower on the day. Deferred soft red futures outpaced losses in nearbys. Spring and hard red winter wheat futures also lower, with nearby spring wheat futures outpacing declines in deferred contracts. U.S. Northern Plains and Canada's prairies will see some periodic light precipitation events, but drought status is not likely to change anytime soon. July, hard red winter wheat, 14 and 3/4 cents lower, 696 and a quarter. July soft red dropped a dime, 722 and 3/4. September spring wheat was down 14 and 1/4 cents to 739. Todd, we're looking at the soft red, the deferreds outpacing losses in nearbys. Opposite situation in the spring wheat futures. Is the spread action telling us anything in wheat?
No, not really, Davis. Look, here's the bottom line. We virtually have gone straight up. Okay. You know, we've got a huge rally. You're going to see some natural selling, some natural pullback. I mean, very often in markets, they're overpriced in one direction or the other. And you're going to get some anomaly trades versus you have the birds changing in certain contracts. Right. But we're very bullish. We're set up to have a long run up. There may be and could be and will be probably a lot of outside money coming to these markets. And, you know, other than the fact that they're a little bit in backwardation here, I don't think there's anything to take from it other than you get a natural pullback in a market that has basically gone straight up. So I think
okay,
that's just
good. You set it up well, because one of the things in my notes here is to talk about some of that outside money coming in. We'll get to that later on in the show. Corn futures lower, back month contracts falling double digits on the day. Prices may have seen an interim high, but few are willing to call a major top, with the most important weather ahead for Brazil's crop and the entire U.S. growing season still unfolding. U.S. corn production areas will see alternating periods of rain and sunshine, causing some periodic disruptions to field work. Northwestern parts of the Corn Belt need more rain. May corn futures 14 and one half lower, 681. July down 14 cents, 640 and one half. December corn closed at 546 and one half, down 15 and 3/4. on the day. And you mentioned, you said this exact thing about the wheat here. Now, prices may have seen an interim high, but few willing to call a major top. Same story there in the corn?
Anybody who would call top here should go see a doctor and have their head examined. you know, you're going to, as I said, you're going to get these natural pullbacks. I thought if you want to make any case at all, the close was a little nasty based on the way that we rallied back during the day and actually got up on the day and some right. of the deferred. So that would be a concern, but I can't call a top here. I mean, to me, you could pull back in July to 620 or 610 and still be in a very bullish setup. So I'm not at all concerned. I'm just looking to buy more.
Right on. Well, soybean futures also lower in today's trade, with the exception of May futures, which are set to go into delivery soon. Meal prices, the lowest relative to soybeans since 2012 and the lowest relative to corn since 2013. After recent price strength, soybeans viewed as due for some corrective action, although stocks do remain tight. May bean futures 8 cents higher, 15.57 and three quarters. July down 5 3/4, 15.13 and three quarters. November soybean futures closed at 13.28. That's down 14.5 cents today. And this feels like the exact same story. Like, we could just rewind all the way back to the wheat and just replay your comments, only substitute soybeans for wheat.
You could do that, because that would be factual. That would be a factual statement. Again, look, we're in great shape as far as I'm concerned. And I think it can only get better. I think we can only have weather issues that can benefit us now. So, end game story, I'm buying them until something changes, and nothing has changed as far as I'm concerned.
Well, yeah, and that's exactly right. If we're talking fundamentals, and I know you prefer not to do so, but as far as the stock situation goes, as far as the weather forecast goes, as far as anything goes, really nothing has changed in these markets that would make at least a fundamental trader. And you're saying, you know, in some cases, even the technical traders say, gosh, I don't know, I got to do something here. To me, if I'm Todd Bubba Horwitz, I'm feeling like right now is an opportunity, baby. Is now the opportunity, or do we need to run a little lower yet, maybe, first before we call it the correction done?
You could go a little bit lower, but certainly, again, I would say you could go down, in let's use July, you can go down to 1470 in July and still be bullish. But I would not, I think one of the big mistakes that everybody makes is they try to pick tops and bottoms versus right. just what the overall trend is. The trend is higher. We broke out big. You had a gigantic move. And in 6 days, you went from 14.25 to 15 to 16.08. Okay, you're going to get some pullback. So big deal. You get a right. halfway retracement. Okay. Look, I can't get nervous about that. The trend is higher. And until that mm-hmm. changes, you want to be a buyer at every chance you can until the trend changes to lower. And the trend's been higher for quite a while now.
Well, let's move on to livestock cattle futures. Mixed, as the boxed beef price continues higher. The cash market remains quiet this week, with some trade reported around 119 in Iowa and Nebraska. April live cattle 57.5 cents higher, 118.95. June cattle fell 40 cents to 115.45. August feeders $1.17.5 lower at 148.90. And let's swing over to the snout side, where hog packer profit margins have slipped into negative territory. But seasonally, market-ready supplies have taken a backseat to planting activities. That suggests perhaps pending cash market strength. May lean hogs $1.47.5 higher on the day, 111.27.5. June hogs surged $2.45 higher to 109.12.5. Your pal Davis Michelson here behind the big green leafy microphone of AgriTalk with Todd Bubba Horwitz. We've covered the markets. We are going to get crazy coming up right after this commercial break. So stick around for these words. Don't go away. It's your pal Davis Michelson right here on AgriTalk.
American-based and family-run, Simplot Grower Solutions knows what it takes to keep a farm and your way of life productive and thriving. It takes field-proven insights backed by trusted technologies and products that help you get the most out of every acre. It takes a local ag expert you can grow with, a down-to-earth partner focused on your success. Head to SimplotGrowerSolutions.com and take the next step with us. Simplot Grower Solutions, in your fields, by your side.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bear Plus Rewards, helping make every part of your season more rewarding. Hey, I got an idea. If at some point we hit something or there's something you would like to discuss with Todd Bubba Horwitz, you can actually call us 855-482-5524. That's 855-4TALK-AG. I'll try to keep an eye on the Twitter machine, hashtag AgriTalk. I don't know if I'll necessarily see it, though, because I got a lot of irons in the fire today. I'm here with Bubba, and over the break, you know, Todd, I was just going to kind of breeze over the livestock markets and move on, but you mentioned some thoughts on the cattle market over the break there that I think we should get out to these good people.
Well, Davis, you know, at the moment, and I always hate being short any of the agricultural products.
I know you do. I know you do.
Yeah, but we are short cattle in here. It has been in a pretty nasty downtrend. Now, I would expect that to change, but again, I'm not going to try to pick the bottom. I'm going to wait until the market tells me it's ready to turn. But right now, it's been really negative, and these inability to follow through, for example, with yesterday's rally, shows you just how weak they are. And if you just look at the hogs at the same time, the hogs are exactly the opposite. Every bit of weakness is bought, and in right now, in cattle, every bit of strength is sold. And that's just the pattern that we're in, and markets do trade in patterns, believe it or not. And it's easier to trade the pattern than to try to trade the news or anything else in your mind, because overall, the market will go in the path of least resistance. And right now in cattle, it happens to be lower. As much as it pains me, but I would love to. I'm happy to see it go down quickly, because it brings my entry down faster with it. So because I can't wait to get long, because I do think it's going to be a good year, but in the short term here, it is still a little bit negative.
Okay, good. Well, that's useful. I appreciate that perspective. Well, okay, let's just stick with the markets for a moment here, because I've had this question in the back of my mind thinking about a possible summer weather market, and at some point, so okay, we correct here a little bit, we fall back just a little bit in the corn and beans, I'm thinking specifically. It almost feels like if my theory is correct, traders are going to want to keep their powder dry in case there's a weather market that develops, hot, dry weather after planting here. Everybody's a panic. Now we're all going to throw our money at the long side. Possible maybe we hit a certain level here and just go sideways until we see how the weather the summer weather shakes out. Am I completely off base on that?
No, not at all. I mean, you could see. Now, typically, many will anticipate that, which is not really the correct way to do it, keeping your powder dry and seeing it start to develop. But we are in an uptrend. So, mm-hmm. And certainly, a weather event would obviously drive prices even more dramatically higher. And I think there's one other thing that you're missing here, and that is, you know, as the equity markets continue to tick higher, although they're slightly lower today, but as they continue to tick higher, money is looking for places to go. And it's like they say, okay, we've had enough. We're loaded up in equities as much as we want. We're going to look for some alternatives. And usually a very common, and very popular alternative is the grain market, which could be the new money we're looking for to really accelerate the buying that we are seeing here, because, you know, they're going to chase it up once it comes in. Now, that is when I'd start to look to be more careful. But for now, I think, again, I believe we've got lots of room to go on the upside. And I think that, you know, if we get a weather event, which is a real possibility this year, we don't have the same oversupply we've had. So I think you could see some very dramatic movement. And if we get that, I mean, we're going much higher. And I do see that as a real possibility.
I've got a tweet here at Gary Rasmussen J1 has been reading my notes, apparently, because I wanted to talk to you about, I don't think you and I have ever even talked about crypto ourselves personally. Here's my basis for this. I was talking to John Payne from StoneX last week. He was talking about how there's a ton of money tied up in crypto. And if the bottom falls out of that, we're going to see a ton of that money scooch on over to the commodities world. Any thoughts on that idea? Your general thoughts on crypto?
I don't know that the money will flow to agriculture. It could. But overall, I'm a big believer in crypto. Okay. I think that, you know, we would call that the libertarian currency. Okay. Because it is a currency that has no central bank involvement. It cannot be manipulated by a bank. It can't be devalued while it sits in your pocket. So I think that is a very big market. Now, today, it's still not as liquid. So, for example, I've got a small position, and, you know, I tell everybody, if it went to zero tomorrow, I would not lose one night's sleep. So I'm not heavily invested because it's not really all that tradable. But I am extremely excited for the CME when they announce the new market for the micro Bitcoin they're going to start trading, because they trade the big one, but it's too big, and it's too big for most accounts to handle. But when they bring out the micros, I think we're going to see some great action. And I do believe that cryptocurrencies are here to stay. There's not going to be 9,200 as there are today, but you can see the market cap continues to grow. And I believe, you know, Bitcoin, Ethereum, the top ones are really good. Now, I've got some big positions in some of the, you know, the 10 cent and 20 cent ones, just taking a shot, you know, gambling like at a casino. But again, the possibility exists. But overall, crypto will be around. And the more the central banks around the world start to get nervous about it, the bigger that market's going to be, because people are tired of the stimulus. And this all ties back to government, to stimulus, and currency or fiat currency manipulation, which runs rampant throughout every nation in the world.
So if I know that there are some, and I'm one, you know, get a little extra coin in your pocket. Silver market looks low. I'll go out and just buy a little bit of physical silver. Is crypto the modern updated version of just maybe padding your safe just a little bit with some silver?
So you're saying, is it a stored value or a wealth?
Yeah.
I
got a little extra cash. You know what? I should invest in something for the future. That's, you know, going to be I guess crypto wouldn't be a tangible asset, but, you know, something that's going to be there of value in the future.
Well, we don't know that it'll be there of value. But I do believe, how's this? I think some money that goes there is going in as stored value. Okay. Looking for that potential that it's going to exist, because if it's going to exist, then yes, it would be great. We don't know 100% that the regulators and the governments aren't going to try to do everything they can to shut it down. Now, they've made many efforts already and all unsuccessful. So I don't think they're going to be able to shut it down. I don't know how they're going to be able to regulate, you know, the streets from using it, but I wouldn't get too crazy. Now, certainly I would, you know, again, if you had 10,000 extra cash laying around to buy silver, I might buy, you know, 2,000 in cryptos and 8,000 in silver. I still want to own, still do own physical metals, and I still buy them. I am not willing to yet commit to the crypto space as a stored asset, because I'm not sure how the rest of this is going to play out. And that would be my concern, that we could go from, you know, 60,000 to zero, you know, should the governments somehow be able to get in the way of this. I don't know if they can or not. And I think that's one of the big issues that has yet to be decided. But I do believe in it. And certainly I would take a small percentage of my investing capital and put it in there, because I do believe it's got a real hell of a chance to be a home run.
Well, and I'm of the mind, and I'm pretty sure you are too, that if it becomes a legitimate currency, that somehow the central bank is going to get their hands in it.
Well, I don't think so. I think what you're looking at, I think this is a great question you're bringing up, you're a great issue. And I think what I think is happening globally at this moment, I think they are discussing a global coin, okay, worldwide. So instead of the U.S. dollar being the reserve currency, we will have a worldwide currency, which will include China, okay, and it'll be digital. Because, of course, that allows them to continue to add to the money supply without having to print money. They can just add digital coins. But as far as the uninvolvement, they will never be able to take this market over from that standpoint. I believe that this market is too well dominated by those who understand that central banking is really more of a Ponzi scheme and a way of creating nothing. But really, what you're doing is you're taxing in another fashion the citizens through taking away their dollars and eliminate the wealth that they have. And that is why I don't believe that they'll ever be able to create a coin, nor do I believe they'll be able to get into Bitcoin as we know it. But they will create a global coin. That I would bet on.
I wish we weren't so short on time, because you lead me to the question, can a currency survive, any currency, without some sort of a governing body to kind of be in charge of it? We need to get into this at the other side of the break here. That's my thought, Bubba. And if I'm just not thinking about it right, let me know. But can a currency even survive? Is a currency legitimate without a governing body to somehow define it or value it? More on AgriTalk. Stick around.
You might already know that POET produces 2 billion gallons of bioethanol and 5 million tons of high-protein Dakota Gold animal feed each year. But did you also know that POET uses the same process to produce a suite of other bioproducts, like purified alcohol for cosmetics and sanitizing products, renewable CO2, and oil for renewable diesel? The market for green products made from crops harvested right here in the Midwest is growing at an unprecedented rate, and that means even more reliable domestic demand for your grain. Farmers aren't just feeding and fueling the world, they are growing sustainable solutions that protect the environment and preserve our way of life for future generations. POET believes in the power of agriculture to meet the world's most pressing needs. Learn more at poet.com/products.
Time now for headlines ripped from Pro Farmers First Thing Today. Fed officials have noted in public comments the recent pickups in hiring, spending, and inflation, but have signaled no readiness to consider changing key policies. Chinese census data to show first population decline since 1949. Abiove pushing Brazil's government to be transparent about any biodiesel blend increase. This as sugar and ethanol production fall notably for Brazil the first half of April. President Joe Biden will unveil this evening a $1.8 trillion American Families Plan in his first address to a joint session of Congress. The proposal he plans today follows a $1.9 trillion COVID relief law, also a $2.25 trillion infrastructure package. Where's the money going to come from? U.S. CDC says it's revising its social distancing guidelines. Get all of this and more ahead of the open. And first thing today, try profarmer.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Todd Bubba Horowitz is my guest today. BubbaTrading.com. I'll say it again, BubbaTrading.com. You can get in touch with Bubba there and, just cozy up at the master's feet. There's much to learn here, and we're going to get right back to that very thing right after this. July hard red winter wheat today, 14¾ cents lower, 696¼. September spring wheat down 14¼ cents to 739. May corn futures 14½ cents lower, 681. December corn closed at 546½, down 15¾ today. May soybean futures 8 cents higher, 1557¾. November soybeans down 14½ cents today at 13.28. I was calling up my cotton closes because I forgot to put them in the open, but we've got July cotton down 190 points, 89.52. Look out to the Dees down 113, 86.07. Livestock, June cattle down 40 cents, 115.45. August feeders a $1.17½ lower, 148.90. June hogs get the upside trophy today, 245 higher, 109.12½. Todd Bubba Horowitz, my beloved guest today, my pal. Can a currency like crypto survive without thieves, thugs, and robber barons in charge of the currency itself? Go.
Oh, I love that. The thieves and the robber barons. You got it. Are you on target or what? yes, you can. My big thing here, okay, Davis, is once the CME, when they bring it in okay, and they start to okay and put in some ETF products and some option products, I think we're clear sailing without the intervention of the thievery of the Federal Reserve and the ability to destroy a currency, which they have done systematically over, you know, the last 106 years. I think that, but we have, once you get an exchange involved, at least you have a regulatory body that is controlling the market and forcing people to put margins up and to be able to then track that. So I think that was, to me, that is the key to this, is that opens up the world and suddenly you've got a real market that is now really tradable as well, not really in the dark markets, but in a real market that has real government, not government backing, but exchange backing, and the money is there. So that is what I'm looking forward to. And I think that's what makes it legitimizes it and makes it much more tradable, and then could make it the stored asset and could changes the game of everything once they do that.
I heard a thing, and I forget where I heard it, recently here, and it was during the COVID lockdowns, but there was a town where they printed dollars, wooden dollars. Maybe you've heard about this. And you could circulate them in the town. You could go to the store and buy stuff. And apparently the town council had a fund that they would back this up. And so, you know, a retailer could take in these and then go and trade them from the city council. The Sawbuck, I think. Yeah, that might be where that term came from. Thank you, Big Apple Joe. But within that small community, those wooden dollars, those Sawbucks, if you like, were legit. Is the world just too doggone big for that kind of thing?
Well, no. I mean, no. If you allowed, if we actually let the free markets control things, if you actually let asset classes price themselves, which is what's supposed to be happening, which we don't allow anymore, with the intervention of the Federal Reserve and these ridiculous interest rates, where they allow the banks to be thieves as well, because where else can you be in a business that you can't lose and you can lend out as much as you want? And if it goes bad, the Fed will bail you out, which means the taxpayer will bail you out. So what can be bad about that kind of business model? But overall, if something has a value that is established, okay, by a free market, okay, then certainly anything works. And the small town took that Sawbuck and they backed up the currency, okay, themselves. And that was to make it easier. And there was a small African nation that actually took a crypto as their currency as well a while back. I don't recall if it's still in play, but they did take crypto as their currency. So you can, as long as there's something backing it, which was the big thing when we came off the gold standard, it made the dollars much more manageable from a manipulation standpoint, which allowed the Fed to open up the printing presses.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Let me just follow that rabbit trail for a second here. We've got the front dollar around 90 right now. Can the U.S. dollar firm and gather any strength with so many dollars in circulation?
Well, it can, you know, when other central banks around the globe, you know, start to play with their currencies, you know, they all trade against each other. Okay, that's, you know, there's a model that, you know, that creates the dollar index, and 59% of it is the euro currency. So, you know, the dollar can firm it, but it certainly doesn't look like it's going to now. And the more we give out stimulus, the more we do these ridiculous packages without anything, the more you control the free market system by the manipulation, okay, the less you're going to have a chance of having a dollar gaining some strength. You know, but again, certainly it can. We'll see. It really depends on the other world currencies, how they trade, because it's basically a race to zero for everybody, because, of course, everybody has the same theory, right? Exports are better if our dollars are cheaper. Makes the product. I don't know. I think that just cheapens the product. I never really got that part of the model. I guess I must have thought of that in economics class. But to me, it's dumb. So I think you need free markets and real true price discovery that isn't based on anything else.
So I think I'm putting together a causation train here. Take the dollar off gold, to make it more easily manipulatable. Is that a word? Manipulatable?
Manipulatable. And then
you make it even more manipulatable by passing out a whole bunch of them to the general citizenry. And the more that you pass out to the citizens, the more manipulatable the dollar itself is. Have I got that straight?
Yeah, I mean, but that's exactly what they're doing. And again, think about it this way, Davis. You know, interest rates. Okay, they're trading at, you know, the Fed funds rate is still zero. Okay, however, at the window, interest rates have gone up a little bit. So the banks are making a bigger profit because the Fed refuses to keep up with the note, the 10-year notes, which is actually what everything is priced off of. And of course, the bond traders, which are the bond markets can truly give the Federal Reserve a run for their money because they are the biggest markets in the world by 10 times at least. OK, so but interest rates are certain could certainly be higher than they are today. OK, that is the markets are telling you that because there's a big demand for money. And so but they don't allow the true free market to work. So they keep them artificially low. And that all that really does is devalue our currency. And this is not free money, everybody. This is money that we're going to have to be taxed on some way, shape, or form. And if you think it's only the wealthy, think again, because that 400,000 that he came out with originally said, one day they're going to drop off that zero. It'll be people that make 40,000. They'll be helping to pay that tax too, because there's no way that they can accumulate the amount of money they're trying to spend.
Mm-hmm. So let's see. Okay, let me just gather myself for a second here. Let's finish up our talk. You talked about a global currency in the context of a crypto. Now, news had sort of come out that China is working on the digitization of their currency.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my first question is, just in general, is a digital currency the next logical step in the evolution of economic progress? I mean, we go from, you know, just a straight up barter system to now we've got wampum to now we've got, you know, gold nuggets. Now we've minted coins. Now we've got paper money. Is the next logical step a digital currency? Is it just inevitable? Is this just where we have to go?
Is it logical? Yeah, I mean, it's a logical step but it's not being done for the right reasons. Okay, it's not being controlled as it should be by real value. Okay, there's a big difference. But yes, it is the next logical step, of course, because certainly, you know, the mining coins or printing coins or printing mm-hmm. dollars, whatever the cost is too great. And the amount of space it takes up is too great. And of course, you know, you can certainly just digitize it, which I think you're going to see. And I do think you're going to see a global, you know, currency, which will be because these central banks are kind of like in it together. It's kind of the scam or the Ponzi scheme. Because again, remember, you know, where is this $1.9 trillion going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The government creates nothing but debt. They don't create any earnings or any money. They only create debt. So somebody's going to have to pay for all the stimulus that they want to create, which is, again, I say these people should go to work and not continue to stay home and get paid more than not work. So that's that's the whole
theory. Yeah. Well, so should we view China's sort of being a front runner in digitization of currency as them trying to get their foot in the door?
Well, I think that, listen, China's wanted to be the reserve currency for quite a while. It's always been a battle, and I think that was the other big mistake that we've seen in recent history when we gave them back control. You know, that meant OPEC. We gave them back the keys to the car when we had total control of all that. And I think that, you know, I think the U.S. has played with making a digital currency as well. I don't think it's China only. I think many are trying. But I think when it comes down to it, I think that it will be a joint, almost what the Eurozone did with the euro currency, which took the mark and some of the others and made one currency. I think we're going to have a worldwide digital coin, and they'll all be working together on the same the same printing or digitizing money.
Right.
So on.
Heavy stuff. Lots more to get to. I don't even have time to tell you what more to get into. Davis Michelson on AgriTalk.
never miss a story. Text NEWS to 31313 to have today's top stories delivered to your phone.
Man, special shout out to at Gary Rasmussen J1. Thank you for the question right off the top here, because you set us up for a really great conversation with Todd Bubba Horwitz, BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, we've only got one segment left. There's a question I've got to put in front of you. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Elon Musk, others have been talking about AI and the impact it will. They're using the word will have on sectors such as jobs, transport jobs, food service, factory and manufacturing, God forbid, policing. That leaves a whole bunch of people without something to do. Is there some tie in between a world currency and a universal basic income? Does one need to be in place for the other to really work most effectively according to what they want it to do?
No, because I think here's the big thing. And this is the huge mistake President Obama made with coal way back when. Okay. What's going to happen is we know it's coming, and people can actually start to prepare and educate themselves very much like computer programmers have done today. So I don't think that we're looking at a major crisis. I think he is 100% right. I mean, he is one of the smartest guys in the world. And I think he's 100% correct that is the coming world. But don't forget, we are now educating people on those things. And this goes back to my comment about President Obama and the coal miners. If they would have said, hey, we're going to give you 5 years to get educated, the young kids who went into coal would have had a chance to get an education instead of just shutting it down all at one time. That was the mistake made, because eventually we know that is the coming world. Technology is going to take over just about everything. It's already taken over the telephone system. You can't call anywhere and talk to anybody. You only get the voicemail. Well, it's all AI anyway. So the whole thing is going to be eventually, but there'll be other jobs that will be created from the AI, just as always has been in the past. So, is a concern? No, it's not a concern for me, and I don't think it should be a concern for anybody, because if we do it properly, then we will get educated properly, and then we will have no problem making that transition as we have done in many other things in history. So to me, that's where we go.
But does a universal basic income cut the legs out from underneath of whatever that innovative step might be?
If they do universal basic income, God help this country and this world. I think you'd destroy everything if you do that. I'm way against it, and I'm not a fan, and I hope it never comes to that. And if it does, I hope I'm dead, because I don't want to see it. I think it ruins the work ethic. I think it takes away from everybody when you say universal income, because it takes away your desire to go out and do something and create something. Mm-hmm. So to me, I hope it never happens, but. I'm assuming somewhere they've tried it. In Finland they've used it. They've tried it in Germany.
Right. Yep.
But
then they decided to get off it too, didn't they?
Right.
Was it Finland?
Finland actually could afford it themselves because of their natural resources, and it was one small country. But I don't think they can do it. But they can certainly try. And I think that destroys everything. And I think that destroys any future for anybody, really, in my opinion. I just don't think it creates creativity or anything. I think it destroys the desire to go out and earn a living and be better than the next guy. That's just my opinion.
Right, so. Right.
Yeah, be popular, but that's what it is.
Sure. I guess I promised at the top of the show we'd talk about the Fed. You've already sort of alluded to it. They came out with some comments today. I'm sure you don't have real high expectations for what the Fed would possibly do or say.
The Fed is like the three blind mice, and I'm tired of everything they say, because everything they say is garbage. Okay. I mean, from no inflation. Okay. Yeah. There's no inflation. In the meantime, only because they don't count food, energy, and some of the building supplies. Take a look at lumber, take a look at copper, take a look at grains, take a look at any other market and tell me, if you can actually tell me there's no inflation, you're out of your mind. Okay. But of course, when you continue to pound the money supply, and print and print and print and print, you're going to have no inflation because you're creating so many dollars. In the meantime, a normal family, and depending on where you live, you're making $100,000 a year. You can't make a living. You can't live there. Okay, you can't live in Chicago or New York or California making $100,000 a year. You'd be on the street. So you can keep telling me all you want the no inflation story. That's a crock, which is so ridiculous and so dumb. I can't take it anymore. How's that for my opinion?
I love it. It's like saying I succeeded, except for every time that I failed, right?
I mean, like I said, same thing I said about the banks, Davis. You know, they keep bailing these banks out. They allowed them to overlend into the COVID crisis. You know, typically fractional banking is 10 to 1. Okay. They lifted the limits, allowing banks to lend out as much as they could lend out. Okay. And I don't think they could pass a stress test before they did that. But now you take and let them lend out more. What's going to happen when we do get the market crash and we do get the meltdown, which is inevitable. It's not just I'm predicting it. Eventually, like all their markets will collapse. Who's going to bail it out? Of course, we are. Now, what business in the world? I don't know any farmers that get guaranteed by the government that they can stay in business and make more money because they went broke than they made before. To me, it's not the right. It's not a fair and equal package when you continue to guarantee the wealthiest people and give them free money to bail out them because they made bad loans to begin with. That's just, again, I don't see it. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And it actually, you can tell it really irritates me.
Yeah, sure. For sure. All right. Well, let's just take a moment. Make it practical for the farmers listening here, trying to navigate through all of this stuff. We talked about some pretty heavy stuff. But as far as marketings go, as far as where their attitude needs to be, where their head should be at, where their focus should be at, speak to the farmers for us, Bubba. What would you tell them face to face?
I would tell them that this. Look, I know many like to fire and play the markets and like to be extra long. I think you need to learn how to hedge and hedge properly, not the way you've done so in the past, which is limiting the upside. I think if you learn to hedge the market properly, then you can stay in forever and you don't have to worry about markets melting down, because at the end of the day, you're perfectly hedged and you get protection to the downside, yet you get unlimited upside if we do go into a big market without giving up your gains. I would never pre-sell. I would never forward sell. I would only hedge properly, which would then allow me to benefit from the next big market, which we know at some point is going to show up again. And I think that the way that many have done it in the past, by either selling futures or forward selling, all that is done is eliminated their opportunity to continue to participate in a big market, because we all know that markets never announce themselves, and someday another big market's going to show up, and I don't want to be out of everything when it shows up. I want to have plenty of ammo and be able to participate. That would be
very
what I
good.
Would tell.
Hey, if you like what you hear, this is not an endorsement, but BubbaTrading.com is where to get more from Bubba. You can email him too with your questions. I'm sure he would answer them. Tomorrow morning, we've got the incomparable Tyne Morgan. Thanks for being here on AgriTalk. We'll see you tomorrow.